Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring and that's my fine wife, Beth.
Mm. On this wonderful Wednesday, we have our Do Not Fear scripture come out of Lamentations 3, verse 57. Lamentations 3, verse 57 says, "You came near when I called you and you said, do not fear."
Wow.
That's a good one.
About as plain as you can get, babe.
That's it. That is the truth.
On today's call, we're going to discuss seven reasons you should be singing.
That's right.
We have a personal question for you. How is you singing? Do you sing primarily in the choir, the pew, or the shower? What kind of music do you sing? Christian, rhythm and blues, country and western, jazz, gospel, hip-hop, pop? Is your singing voice of a quality that only a mother could enjoy? In days gone by, I said I sing solos. Solo, nobody can hear me.
Solo, huh?
That's it. I said I sing, but nobody ever asked me to make a music CD. Those are the things I have previously said, but no more. A fresh revelation of the last part of Mark 11:23 calls me to change the words coming out of my mouth. That scripture says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." A further revelation came when I scripturally understood the meaning of Psalm 95:1. "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." I used to joke, honey, as you know.
I do.
About joyful noise. The dictionary definition of noise added credit to my humor about my singing voice. Dictionary.com defines noise as sound, especially of a loud, harsh, and confused kind. Truthfully, I thought my singing sounded like a noise. However, a fresh revelation, as I said, into the scriptural meaning of joyful noise changed my thought pattern.
Mm. You know, according to Strong's Concordance, the Greek word for joyful noise is actually one word put together. It's H7321, and it means to shout, raise a sound, cry out, give a blast, to shout a war cry, or alarm of battle, to shout in triumph over enemies, to shout in applause, to cry out in distress. So in short, it has a lot of meanings. And it is not just a song. It's actually a shout out. Sometimes we can shout out to our friends or shout out to the Lord, "Thank you, Lord." And that should probably be done by everyone, whether they're a 5-octave range like Aaron Neville, or a voice like my husband says he used to have, but he doesn't really anymore. Point of it is it could be battle, distress, or triumph.
Hmm.
So everyone, in one time or another, is shouting or singing. But we'll go a little further into Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16, Classic Amplified, also changed our perspective and our reality about singing unto the Lord. It says in the Classic Amplified version, "Let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you in all its richness as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom and spiritual things, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God with his grace in your hearts."
Wow.
There are seven reasons we should be singing to the Lord.
First, the Word of God should have its home in our hearts and our minds. The Word spoken by God, our Lord and Savior Jesus, shall reign in our hearts. Luke 6:45. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We should be speaking the words that Christ spoke.
Amen and amen to that.
Proverbs 23:15. 23:15 Message Bible. Dear child, if you become wise, I'll be one happy parent. My heart will dance and sing to the tuneful truth that you speak.
Wow. Second, we should be, this is really according to scripture, we should be teaching, admonishing, and training others in the word of God. This particular reason should be, it's really a non-thinker for every born-again believer. If for no other reason, the Great Commission tells us really in Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hebrews 5:12 in the New Living Translation sums this up this way. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word.
Wow.
So we need to be
profound.
We need to be mature enough to be able to be spreading our maturity to others with what we have to say.
Third, our teaching should contain insightful, intelligent, and intelligence and wisdom. This kind of teaching is not based on your educational level or your intellectual prowess, but rather 1 Corinthians 2:16, Classic Amplified. For who has known or understood the mind, the counsels, and the purposes of the Lord, so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have, hallelujah, I love this, we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. Thus far, we've learned that every believer should have the Word of God established in their hearts so they can teach and train everyone what they've learned with wisdom beyond their natural minds. Let's look again at our primary text, Colossians 3:16, Classic Amplified. Let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and minds, and dwell in you in all its richness as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom and spiritual things as you sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody to God, his grace, in your hearts.
Fourth, we should be singing psalms. In Strong's Concordance, we find the word psalm is G5528, and it says, interestingly enough, a striking the chords of a musical instrument, a psalm. Now, I have to tell you that when we started, we did smile a little bit when we read the word twanging. It almost makes you think of the old country and western singers. But the point of it is God wants us singing, no matter how we sing, right?
That's it.
And in 1 Chronicles 16:9, it says, sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works.
Wow.
This particular scriptural admonition must be important to God, and because that same actual verse is repeated again in Psalm 105, verse 2.
Got to be important.
So the point being, and sometimes we just have to take the word psalm, and that's what they do when they do the translations and pick the best word they think that's going to fit it, and that probably fit everything, perhaps.
Amen. Fifth, we should sing hymns. According to Strong's Concordance, the word for hymns found in Colossians 3:16 is the Greek word G5215, which means a song in praise of God's, heroes, conquers, a sacred song, hymn. Does this definition of hymns line up with those you've been singing out of your church hymnal? In most cases, I don't think so.
Not really. But we're to sing psalms, though.
Of victory.
Of victory.
Over every foe.
That's right. Sixth, we should sing spiritual songs. Remember what the said, anyway, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. There's a very specific direction in the scripture on the kinds of spiritual songs that we sing to the Lord. As it says here, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant, and the song of the Lamb, saying, mighty and marvelous are your works, O Lord, the omnipotent. Righteous, just, and true are your ways, O sovereign of the ages, king of the nations. We forgot to put the address on that one, babe, but it's in there somewhere, probably in the Deuteronomies or somewhere. Anyway, or maybe in the Psalms. Hallelujah.
Could be. We'll find it. Seventh, we should be singing to God with grace in our heart. We're not just to sing to the Lord. We're to sing with grace in a very specific manner.
Yes.
According to Strong's Concordance, the Greek word for grace is G5485. G5485. It means that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, grace of speech, goodwill, loving kindness, favor, and benefit. Two final scriptures for your thought process. First, let's look at Colossians 3:16. 3:16, Message Bible. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing your hearts out to God. There's a further confirmation of this teaching found in Ephesians 5:19. Speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments, and making melody with all your heart to the Lord. And one last comment. Let me hear you sing. Me, 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 me.
Okay, honey. I think you got the point across.
I think so, too.
Anyway.
And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern.
God bless you. Happy trails. And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.